from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight that once again we can open your word. And we pray that you'd help us now to receive it as it is in truth, the word of God, and not the words of men. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Bless this time now, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the New Testament, in James chapter 2, Abraham is said to be called the friend of God. And James is quoting from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is Jehoshaphat's prayer. And this is a title that we know is given then to Abraham. He's called the friend of God. And tonight I want to look from our passage to see what that looks like, to see what friendship with God looks like in a person's life and from the life of Abraham. And what we're going to find is that it's a little bit different than the rest of our friendships, right? We have friendships with other people, but friendship with God is a little different than that. And people need friendships, right? We need friendships. And sometimes we find those friendships in pets, right? We'll get maybe not a goldfish, but maybe like a cat or a dog or a horse or something like that, right? We have those sort of animals. But dogs, they have the distinction of being called man's best friend. And I looked up that phrase and I found out where it came from. And it's kind of a sad story. There's actually there's a statue of a dog outside the Johnson County Courthouse in Warrensburg, Missouri. And it's the statue of a dog who's named Old Drum. And so the story goes that it was back in 1869, a man named Charles Burden was home in the evening. And he's there in his home, and all of a sudden he hears a gunshot. Now, his brother-in-law owned the farm next to his, and his brother-in-law had been getting annoyed at the fact that his sheep were being terrorized by wolves and also stray dogs. And so he had made it clear to everybody that the next time any animal stepped on his property, he was just going to shoot it, right? So that was what he said. And so here's Charles Burden in the middle of the night. He hears this gunshot go off. Well, the next morning, Charles Burden calls all his dogs and his hunting dogs, and one of them's not there. His favorite hunting dog, whose name was Old Drum, never came to the house. And so he went out looking for Old Drum, and he found him shot, and he was laying dead there by a riverside. And so he files a lawsuit against his brother-in-law because his brother-in-law claimed that Old Drum wasn't the dog that he shot. He said, I did shoot a dog, but I know it wasn't him. But there were a lot of like suspicious things in his story and the way they found Old Drum. There was just a lot of things that didn't add up. So he took him to court over this. And the case ended up going all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court. But in one of those trials along the way, Charles Burden and Old Drum's attorney was a man named George Vest. And in his closing remarks, he gave a speech that has since been called Eulogy of the Dog. And in it, he argued that Old Drum wasn't just a pet. He was more than a pet, right? He was Charles Burden's friend. And he gives this beautiful speech. And if you like dogs, you should read this. Eulogy of the Dog. It's very nice. If you don't like dogs, you can read it anyways. But the one sentence that really has stood out from that is this. He said, the one absolute unselfish friend that man can have in this selfish world, the one that never proves ungrateful or treacherous, is his dog. And so he built up this poor dog, right, that was shot as more than just an animal that he owned. It was Charles Burden's friend. And so the court decided in the favor of Charles Burden and Old Drum. So justice was done in this case. But it's from that eulogy and from that sentence that we got that phrase, "His dog is man's best friend." And you know, there are a lot of qualities that are found in dogs that make them worthy of that title. As he pointed out, they're never ungrateful, they're never treacherous, they're just faithful, right? And all of those qualities. But for us tonight, what does it mean to be a friend? Right? What does it mean to be friendly? I found a definition by Psychology Today, and they said to call someone a friend, there's like three things that you need. The first one is that the friendship has to be long-lasting. Like, it can't be just a recent acquaintance. I mean, sometimes we meet someone, call them a friend, but to really be a friendship, there's got to be like some time that's there where you spent time together. The second thing they say is that it needs to be a positive relationship, like a beneficial relationship. You can't have one of those relationships that like the one person is just really selfish, just takes advantage of you the whole time and is horrible to you unless you're doing something for them. They may call you their friend, but that's not a real friendship. Right, so long-lasting, positive. The third thing they said is that it has to be cooperative, right? That both are participating in this. You being the only one who texts, that's not a friendship. If they never text you back, they might. That's probably not a friendship, right? So a lot of these different things. But it's more than just a term. It's more than just a title. It's talking about a relationship. And the Bible says that Abraham had this sort of relationship with God, which is an amazing thing when you think about it, that man can be the friend of God. And in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, it tells us that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, closer even than a dog, if we could use that still. But so tonight, how was Abraham the friend of God? What was it about his relationship with God that earned him that title? And really, there's two things that we see in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham did that built this friendship with God. And so here's the first thing. Number one, we find from Genesis chapter 12 that friendship takes communication. Friendship takes communication. Now, this one's pretty obvious, right? And we probably could have guessed that this one would be in there. But in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, which we read, we have God communicating to Abraham. He has something he wants Abraham to do. He is starting this relationship with Abraham. Now, what's interesting to me is we don't know how much Abraham knew about God. I mean, we know that back in the day, right, and we talked about this in another message, that there was the knowledge of God that was there with Noah, but then we have these generations that passed, and so we're not sure how much was passed down through these years. And by the time it gets to Abraham, we don't really know how much Abraham knew about God. But we find God speaking to Abraham because God wanted a relationship with Abraham that was special. God was the one who then initiated that relationship. And we find that with everybody. It's God who initiates a relationship with him. We talked in when we were going through Romans about general revelation and special revelation, right? As God communicates to us, either through creation that we can see or through the Word of God. And why does God do that? It's because he wants a relationship with us. He's told us about himself so that we can then relate to him. So we know who he is. We know what he wants from us. And God has initiated that relationship with us. And do we understand how special that is? Because God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to bother with us. We're sinners, right? We had already rejected God and disobeyed God. But yet God, who knew all of that about us, said, I still want a relationship with these people, with these people who hate me and have disobeyed me and rejected me. I want a relationship with them. So he did all of this in speaking. He did all that in sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. God has initiated in speaking to us this relationship. But then we have, after this, right, Abraham then responds to God's communication with him. And look down in verse 8. It says that Abraham removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord, which is It's like a real simple statement, and one we almost maybe take for granted in Scripture. Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Of course, he's Abraham, right? That's what he does. He calls upon the name of the Lord. I mean, we're not surprised when we find it like in Joshua or Moses or David or Peter or Paul, right? That they talk with God. But in Abraham's day, it like set him apart from all the rest of the people. It talks about that the Canaanite was then in the land. The end of verse 6, Canaanites weren't calling upon the name of the Lord. The rest of the people around him weren't doing that. We find that this communication that Abraham then has to God sets him apart, right? It makes him different than everyone else that's around him. In verse 10, he's going to continue on, and he's going to go down to Egypt. The Egyptians weren't calling upon the name of the Lord. Abraham in their midst was distinct and different from all of that. And it singles Abraham out in the fact that God communicated to him and Abraham communicates back. And we see this relationship then that Abraham has that other people did not have because of that communication. Therefore, Abraham is called the friend of God because God spoke to him and Abraham communicated back with God. Both parties have to cooperate and participate in order to have a friendship. Now, God has sent Jesus Christ to save us, right? He spoke to us through his word and he sent Jesus Christ. Without that salvation, we know there would be no communication from us to God. It was that Jesus Christ opened that line of communication with him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. I'll have you turn there. You go there with me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And then look down in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says, let us therefore, because of what Jesus Christ did, and also because of who he still is, we can then come boldly under the throne of grace. Without the intercession of Jesus Christ, we would not be able to communicate with God. But it goes from one-way communication to two-way communication because of Jesus Christ for us. And if we want to be the friend of God, it's going to take communication. It's going to take us talking with him. And the spectrum of communication goes from very little to as much as we want. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. There is no limit to how much we can communicate with God. As much as we want to talk to God, we can talk to God. We sang that song, My Lord and I, and it talked about telling him the things that annoy us. Yeah, and how many times do we identify with that? I have these, like, I'm just annoyed with things. And we can bring that to the Lord, and it says, the song said, and so we talk together. We talk about the things that are going on in our life, the difficulties, the good things, the things we're happy about, the things that are bothering us, all of that, because that's what a friendship is. It's you communicating with that other person. Friendship with God is us bringing all those things to God and laying them out before him, and then us listening as he speaks to us through his word. It's that relationship. Friendship takes communication. God spoke to Abraham, and he initiated that relationship. And Abraham followed up on it. He built an altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. And if we want to be the friend of God, it's going to take communication. And you know what? That's up to us, isn't it? Because God speaks to us. God has spoken to us. It's really up to us how much we then communicate with God. So the first is that friendship takes communication. And secondly and lastly, friendship takes obedience. And this is where it differs from other relationships. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, it takes obedience. In the first three verses, the Lord tells him what he wants him to do, specifically in verse 1, that he needs to leave where he is and go to a land that God is going to show him. And so in verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And there's Abraham's obedience. It involved leaving his home, leaving his family, leaving what he knew and going to a place he didn't know. And obedience isn't usually what we associate with friendships, right, in that sort of dynamic and relationship. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 14. This is always been an unusual verse to me that Jesus Christ said. John chapter 15 and verse 14. John 15 and verse 14. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And you know, there's plenty of ways to initiate a friendship, to talk to someone, and you know, maybe it's like, "Hey, do you like sports? I like sports." And then you kind of go from there. Or, you know, "How about this weather we're having?" You could start it that way. You know, there's lots of different ways like you could initiate a friendship. I don't recommend going to them and saying, "Hey, do you want to obey me? If so, you can be my friend." That's kind of odd, right? That's not really how we start friendships. But like when Jesus Christ says this, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you," it really speaks to the uniqueness of the relationship and like the dynamic that's there between us and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because we're not equals. We're not equal with him. We're not on the same level as Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is above us. And it really speaks to that difference between who we are and who Jesus Christ is. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He is all of those things. But he's also our friend. And all of those exist at the same time. And if we liken it to you and like a boss at work, you can be friendly. You can be friends with your boss. But when it comes to the idea of obedience, you have to remember that they're still your boss. And how good of a friendship are you going to have if every time you're at work, you're disobeying? And every time there's a meeting, you're always giving them a hard time and just being rude and disrespectful and not willing to follow orders, and you're always fighting back against them. And then you're like, "Hey, you want to go out to eat after this and, you know, get a bite to eat?" He's probably like, "No, not after how you treated me. Not after how you disobeyed me in front of everybody." There's going to have to be a lot of discipline that takes place, and it's going to make that relationship really awkward. It's going to make it really hard to maintain a friendship. It's possible, even with like the difference in position, but not if there's disobedience. Not if there's disrespect that's there. And so that's why we see if we're going to be friends with God, it's going to take obedience. If Abraham looked at the Lord after the Lord told him, "I want you to leave and go to a place I show you," and Abraham looked at him and went, "Nope, don't want to do that. It's a lot of work to pack up everything. I don't want to pack up my whole house and go somewhere I don't know. No, maybe you tell me first and then I'll..." If Abraham had done that, we would never get to a place where Abraham would have been the friend of God. Not until there was obedience. There has to be obedience in this relationship with us and God. While we maybe wouldn't look at our other friends and say, "Listen, you have to obey me in order to be my friend." Yet with God, it has to be that way. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Right? There has to be an agreement, or the idea of like unity, this coming together. There needs to be agreements in a friendship, at least on the major things, right? You can maybe look like different sports teams, or one likes cats and the other likes dogs or whatever, right? But on the major things, there has to be some agreement that's there. Our obedience is us agreeing with God about what is right. When Abraham obeyed, he was saying, "Lord, you're right. Your way is right. Your plan is right. I agree with you, so I'm going to obey you." There has to be that agreement. Our obedience is us knowing what God wants us to do and then agreeing with God about that and saying, "You know what? That is right. That then is what I'm going to do." There has to be that coming together and that agreement. There's this fundamental concept of what is right. And it's never going to work if we're constantly at odds with God about what is right. What's right in our life, what is right for us in all these decisions. If we're constantly fighting and rebelling against God, there's just going to be conflict. And in that, there cannot be friendship. And it's never going to happen that we disagree with God and he changes his mind and he comes around to our side of the argument. It's only going to happen if we change, if we agree with God and say, no, God is right. I was wrong. I'm going to obey God. When there's obedience, there can be friendship. There can be that relationship with God. So it takes communication, and then it takes obedience. And I want to go back to Proverbs 18 as we close. Proverbs chapter 18. I already quoted part of this verse. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. The end of this verse is that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we know that's Jesus Christ, right? He's a friend that sticks closer to a brother than us. But you see the first part of that verse? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I've been bitten by dogs twice in my life. Both times were up in Newfoundland. And I told this story when we came back from Newfoundland this last time and did the slideshow and all of that. But this last time, we're out there passing out invitations to church, doing door hangers and all of that. So I came to this one house, and it was on the side of a hill, and the house was down the hill. So I got to the top of the stairs, this long flight of stairs that went down. Down at the bottom, there was a lady outside, and she had two dogs that were out there. And as I come to the top of the stairs, the dogs start barking, and I start to go down the stairs, and the dogs are coming at me. As they're running toward me, she yells out, "Don't worry, they're friendly." And then they come up and one bites me. Bites me right on the ankle. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I don't even think it broke skin. But I went, that's not friendly. That is not the definition of what it means to be friendly. And maybe they were to her, but they certainly weren't to me. And I understand, like, guard dogs and all that, they weren't that type. They were like the little ankle biters. It's probably why they get their name. But I'm like, that's not what it means to be friendly. That's not what a friend means. And really, we need to look at Proverbs 18 and verse 24, where it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and ask, how friendly are we? Not just other people, but in our relationship with God. How much do we show ourselves friendly? Do you think it's possible that a person could think that they're a great friend and really not be one? A person to think that they are fine and they are friendly and doing everything they need to, but like not really be putting in the work for friendship? And maybe we've had those relationships that have kind of, like, we've considered ourselves friends with people, but then something happens and you just stop, I don't know, and the friendship just kind of falls away over time, and you get out of touch with them, and all of a sudden you go, man, I got to reconnect with them, right? I haven't talked to them in a while. I don't know what's going on. And you just have to, like, do the work to restore that friendship. And how much are we really communicating with God? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. How much time do we really spend listening to what God has to say and then responding? Like in prayer, really communicating with God. How much work are we putting into that friendship? How much are we really obeying God? Is there some area that we're really in conflict with him where we haven't just submitted, just haven't given into his way and come around to agreeing with God on something? If we want to be friends with God, we have to show ourselves friendly. Now listen, we're always going to be family. If you're saved, that doesn't change. You're always going to be family. But friendship is different than that. Friendship comes with communication and obedience to God. And again, what an amazing thought it is that we could be the friends of God, like Abraham was, that we could have that great of a relationship with God to say, you know what, God is my friend and I am his friend. Abraham was this portrait of friendship. We see him doing everything that was necessary to have that sort of relationship with God. But how are we doing tonight? Are we friends with God? Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the salvation that you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege that we have of prayer. We thank you for your word. Lord, you have given us everything we need to be the friend of God. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us to communicate, help us to obey, help us to do what we need to so that we can have that right relationship with you. We pray that you would show us those areas where we need to change. Make those clear to us, Lord. And we pray that you would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.